Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed. What's this?
Shaken and Disturbed, everybody. I'm Darren Karp. John Thrasher, say hi or whatever
hi,
weird thing
everybody.
you're doing to the smash that subscribe button, YouTube subscribers and patrons.
Hi, everybody.
Yes.
Hi. Do
What is this?
I'm just covering up my shirt because, Darren, there's a big reveal. How did you not know that's what I was doing? We just talked
No,
about
I mean,
whatever
no.
we're going to
I
do.
mean, I
It's
sort of
fine.
knew, but I just also wanted to make sure that you weren't being shy.
Oh, that's true. I'm being shy. I'm a little shy boy today. No, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm covering up my shirt because it's time to finally reveal the shirt
Dun-dun-dun-dun.
that Darren got me at Coachella. I'm wearing it right now. If you're listening to this on the podcast, thank you. Please keep listening. But also check us out on YouTube later and you can see my shirt and I'm going to
And
show it right now.
smash that subscribe button as
And
you're doing
smash
it.
that subscribe. Here we go. Oh, hold on.
No
Let me
doubt.
move
No,
my
you gotta see. Yeah,
microphone.
move the mic. Let's see the goods. Now that's a good looking shirt. That is a Coachella good looking shirt, my
Did you see
friend.
my chin get like stuck on
You were like,
the thing?
I love
Thank you
it.
so much for my shirt. I love it. I'm a huge No Doubt fan. I'm also just a girl, you know, so it's all
Not yet a
good.
woman, though. Let's
That's
remember that.
right. Let's not forget that.
I'm really happy you liked it. You're welcome. And anytime I can get you something, I will. I
You're so
shall.
sweet.
I'm not gonna get you David Archuleta, but I'll get you a No Doubt shirt.
Anytime I see something, I will probably not get it for you because you know how I am about gifts. It takes too long. You're gonna get your upcoming birthday
Who
gift
wants a
probably in
gift, you know?
December, you know, things like that.
Who wants
How's
a
your
gift?
cat butt tissue holder, which we see on our YouTube channel, but how is it going at home? Is it out and about at home?
It's out and about.
Oh, good.
It's in the back of some cabinet somewhere, but it's out and about in
What?
the apartment.
All right, I get it. I get it. I really
But
love, by the way.
I haven't
Go
sold it yet.
By the way, I've been selling things on Poshmark recently. Shout out to
People love
Poshmark.
Poshmark. They love that shit.
I put a bunch of random stuff on there because a coworker of mine told me about how much she sells. And I was like, let's see what happens. I've sold three or four things in like 2 weeks, which
That's really
doesn't
good.
sound like that. But yeah, I know. It does sound good for me because I
No,
just have a
anytime
bunch
you
of
can
old
sell
shirts and
anything,
stuff.
even selling one thing, feels fucking daunting as hell
Yeah, I
on
have
there.
this No Doubt shirt I might put up on there. I mean, wait, what?
You could probably get a lot for it.
Honestly, I might actually.
Yeah,
It's
you probably
pretty
could.
exclusive.
Yeah, you
How's your
probably
lighting
could.
situation? I can tell you're trying to figure it out.
I'm trying
Go
to see
ahead.
where the glare is coming from that's like
Okay.
hitting it right here. And
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
shaded
yeah.
right here, but I want
Right.
to open it up. You know what I
Yeah,
mean? But
yeah. This
so
is
I'm
the joy of
just,
YouTube, you guys. You get to see us figuring out the lighting in real time.
you
You're
know
in New
what?
York this week
I
still,
feel good
right?
about this.
Yeah.
Yes, still in New York doing the Today Show. I did the Today Show last Thursday because this is going to come out on
This is
Sunday.
Sunday.
But
Yep. Okay.
anyway,
Great.
I've resigned myself to this lighting. So here
There
we
you go.
go.
I think the lighting is fine and everyone else can see you perfectly, so I think we're good to go. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks again for my shirt. I will probably wear it on a future episode. And do you want to get right into this week's interesting case?
I do, Mr. Muscle T. Okay.
Ow.
Ow. In 1993, Lois and Sion Jenkins, great name, decided to grow their family. The couple already had four biological daughters of their own: Esther, Maya, Lottie, and Annie. 9-year-old Billy Joe had a rough upbringing and recently entered the foster care program, receiving placement with Lois and Sion, seemingly a perfect addition to their family. So, four biological, one coming into their own adopted. Now, Billie Jo was an extremely sweet, kind person, was thought of as a charming young lady with old world manners.
I'm
They were
glad we
really,
determined it's a lady because
me too.
I was thinking Billy Joel for some reason here, and I was
Billie
thinking
Joel,
dude. Yeah.
this is Billie Joel's memoir. We're reading straight from Billie Joel's memoir.
Straight from there, yeah.
Old world manners, I had never really heard of. I mean, I've heard of old soul, but I've never really heard of old world manners. But I sort of see, I can paint this picture. Now,
Yeah.
though they lived apart, Billie Joe, not Joel, maintained close contact with her biological family. The girls attended Helenswood Comprehensive School, sounds terrifying to me. And Billie Joe was known for being a good student and a friendly classmate. Now, after Billie Joe had been with family for some time, they became her legal guardians, and the seven of them moved to a large three-story Victorian home in East Sussex. The area was once known as a wholesome resort town full of vacationers. Sounds like Billy Joel Joe is getting the, I hate you for putting that in.
I know. John. I was thinking maybe I shouldn't have said that. Oops.
Billy Joel's going to be like, why are you telling my life story?
He's going to be like, cease and desist. What are you guys doing?
He listens.
Yeah.
But Billy Joe, it seems to be working out for her.
Yeah. All things considered. And by the way, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but
no, you're good.
You know, we've done a lot of these cases in the past that kind of begin with a background in adoption and maybe some unsavory household situations. And, you know, 99% of the shows that we've done that with, you know, they don't end up too well, but at least, and we'll get to the details of this case, of course, but at least at this point, we know that things are working out, for lack of a better word there.
Yeah. So it seems, to your point. So three-story right. Victorian home in East Sussex, while it did seem nice, full of vacationers, the area had fallen out of favor. Hotels and tourist attractions had closed down. The amounts of petty crime, break-ins, vandalism sort of began to rise, and the neighborhood started to feel a bit run down. And that could kind of, even though it's not overnight, it almost feels like all of a sudden you're like, wait, what kind of happened to my town? And many residences, including next door to the Jenkinsons, sat vacant and boarded up, which is tough to see, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happens over the years, right? Especially in cities, I feel like, you know, like different neighborhoods become gentrified and others become run down. It's just kind of like the ebb and flow of, I think, you know, natural societal progression in a lot of ways. I've seen parts of my hometown kind of do this, you know, like areas that I spent a lot of time in my childhood that were pretty nice and, you know, up
toil
and coming.
Toil away a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And a lot of it has to do with employment opportunities, you know, and in this case, it's connected to tourism and things like that. So on Saturday, February 15th, 1997, by the way, I love that we're back in the 90s. Last week's episode was like the late 1700s. And I will say I had a hard time finding an image to use for our thumbnail because of that, because they didn't even have photography. Yeah, for the brothers, but I ended up coming up with something. So hopefully we'll have some good imagery at least for this episode. But yeah, 1997, Spice Girls in their heyday.
I was
going to
say,
okay.
This is Spice Girls world now. Yep. Come on now.
Tune into our NMR episode for more on the Spice Girls if you're interested in that. But anyway, like I said, Saturday, February 15th, 97, Lois took two of her daughters, Maya and Esther, out for a grocery shopping trip while Sion planned to stay home with the remaining children doing chores around the house. Now,
that's
not
nice.
Long. Yeah, right. Not long after Lois left, she called Sion to tell her she'd forgotten her checkbook. Sorry, I was misunderstanding something. She'd forgotten her checkbook and asking if he could bring it. So yeah, she was telling Sion that she had forgotten her checkbook. Guys,
she's asking him to bring the checkbook. That's what you need to know.
John has a Fiji bar full of vodka. I mean,
I was
going to
say we. Also, did you say Fiji bar?
Oh my god, did I? Oh my god.
Well, people,
we're
I'm,
not
I
even
have
2 minutes
lighting,
in.
You have this. Yep, we're not even. Okay.
You think we've done this for like 700 episodes? But anyway. Anyway, Lottie had a clarinet lesson scheduled for later that afternoon. This is so wholesome, by the way. I had cello lessons at this time, so I get it. And Sion left home to drive her, bringing Annie with him, while 13-year-old Billy Joe chose to stay home alone, painting the doors leading from the backyard patio into her home. Now, not long after, Sion and Annie left home to run to the store and retrieve Lottie from her lesson, returning home about 15 to 20 minutes later. Billy Joe chose to stay home and continue painting. Now, upon his return, Sion walked into a horrific scene. Billy Joe was dead. And from the look of things, she had died both quickly and very violently. Sion immediately called for an ambulance and the police, who later stated, quote, "The awful scene that confronted Mr. Jenkins and his daughters is almost unimaginable." Billy Joe's body was found in the backyard of the house. She had been beaten to death by an 18-inch iron tent peg that was found discarded near her body. This is very horrific. Jesus. Now, this is really kind of tragic and chilling. Her paintbrush and paint pot were also found near her remains. So it was very clear, like, she was in the middle of this, you know, and something happened. And, you know, there was no evidence of sexual assault, thankfully, to the young woman's body, nor any evidence to indicate that anyone had even tried to break into the family house. So it's like kind of a quick kind of one and done type of situation here.
Wow, that's horrible. I'm also trying to an 18-inch iron tent peg. So it's basically
Like
like
one
a
of,
long stake
yeah,
almost.
I would
Okay.
imagine. Yeah, that's how I pictured it.
Oh
Yeah.
God, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Foot and a half. All right. So when he was able, Sion told detectives that the family had recently taken note of a neighborhood prowler who had been lurking around their home throughout the past several months. Roughly 4 weeks prior, he had noticed the man watching his family from a park located across the street from their home. Oh,
Hell
hell
no.
no. In fact, Alexandria Park was known for containing nefarious characters, including flashers and drug dealers.
Oh, great.
So, 2 weeks after that, he'd actually caught the prowler in their own backyard. I mean, this is a no-go for, I mean, that's a no for me, dog. That's a
Yeah,
no for
it's an
me, dog.
absolutely, absolutely fucking not for me, dog.
The family had also discovered the gate to their yard open on a few occasions and had gotten so spooked by the disturbances that they'd installed security lighting. They
Yeah,
got
this is.
several. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, sorry to interrupt you. I was just gonna say this is way before Ring cameras, way before
Right, well,
iPhones,
or
you
like
know.
real, I mean, they could have security systems, but security
Yeah.
lighting, maybe that was, So
Yeah.
they've gotten several good looks at the prowler, who Cyan described as being white. In his 40s or 50s, so you're okay, John. Roughly 5'10", with wispy facial hair and a scar on his face. Now that's pretty detailed.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that means
Okay.
they've gotten a very good look at this guy, you know.
Right. Sion went on to tell police that Billie Joe had even suspected that an older man may have been following her.
Wow.
She had described him to her family, and her description very closely resembled that of the prowler. This was not the first time Billie had expressed feeling threatened by a man. In fact, when she was just 11 years old, she had told Lois and Sion that she was worried she might have a stalker, as she's noticed a man following her around on multiple occasions. Nothing had come of concern though, of her concern though, and her family had put the issue out of their minds after the move. But Lois and Sion appeared on the news, begging the public to help them find the person who had killed Billie Joe.
Yeah.
And just a few days after her death, British police arrested a 44-year-old man who had been seen in the neighborhood right around the time that she was attacked. The man, who had a large birthmark across his face, which could have been maybe considered a scar, depending on how
Right.
it laid on his face, was taken in for interrogation. But when it was discovered he had an alibi, he was ruled out as a suspect and released to psychiatric care.
Alibis are so tricky, right? Because unless there's like very concrete.
There's airtight alibis. I mean,
Yeah, no, I know. I'm
boss sees
just.
you, but yeah, I mean, it's if
But
you're like, I'm
even
at my
that.
mom's, I don't know, and then you tell your mom to corroborate that, and she does. Is that an airtight
Is that an
alibi?
airtight? Exactly my point. I'm like, how do we know for sure? Unless there's
Right.
like literal video evidence that you can prove the time frame of something.
Like
Aren't
that
most
murder
alibis
that,
just hearsay and you know? Go ahead.
like that murder that, Larry David helped to get exonerated through Curb Your
Yes.
Enthusiasm. When the
Oh, that's
guy,
right. Yes,
when he got pulled
yes.
over, he got profiled, and then he was in
Yes.
the background of this Curb episode at the game on the
That's
day that this
right.
murder supposedly happened. Well, that was pretty cool. That
Yeah.
was air, you know, that's an airtight alibi because you're on
That
the
you can't
camera,
get much,
so.
yeah, you're so public in that situation as well.
Exactly.
And obviously we've heard, yeah, so many times from the Innocence Project and others about, you know, air, quote unquote, airtight alibis that weren't so airtight with other people. So it's just interesting.
Yeah.
Well, with no other leads, detectives began to grow suspicious of Sion. Although he didn't seem to have an obvious motive, the day had been very frustrating. There was a lot of back and forth, as we just kind of described. There was running errands, and it didn't seem that Billy Joe had been doing a particularly good job painting the patio doors, you
Okay,
know?
I mean, it's hard.
It is hard, absolutely. And maybe that this particular person, Sion, you know, doesn't
Didn't
really
like
care
that.
how hard it is. Yeah, exactly. Well, the authorities began to suspect that perhaps Sion had lost his temper and bludgeoned his foster daughter to death in a fit of rage. And I think, you know, if there aren't any clear suspects, I think it makes sense to start speculating in that way, right? I mean, if nothing
Well, it
else is
definitely makes
coming
sense
to the
to,
surface,
yeah, maybe put him as a suspect,
a
or
person
at
of
least a person of
interest,
interest,
you
yeah,
know.
maybe in that sort of way. But wow, like I would have to see evidence that this person is capable of bludgeoning his foster daughter to death. I
Right.
mean, there are some people in the community where you're like, that person,
I know. I know. It's so true.
But yes, of course, it's a possibility, of course.
So on February 24th, police arrested Sion, who vehemently denied that he had any involvement in Billy Joe's death. 3 weeks later, he was arraigned for her murder.
Ooh.
During their investigation, police uncovered something unexpected. Prior to his arrest, Sion was employed as a deputy headmaster at William Parker School. And during their background investigation, authorities learned that he had intentionally misrepresented his qualifications when applying for this current job.
Ooh.
This told them nothing about the murder, of course, but they did feel that it spoke ill of his character. Yeah, okay. I don't know that, you know, Darren, you always say, you know, this kind of stuff doesn't a murderer make.
So. Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, he might not be a trustworthy person. Again, this doesn't necessarily tend to the murder, but it does create a character portrait of the suspect.
Yeah, it
or
does.
Him, rather. Yeah.
So then he goes on to trial. It began in June, and the prosecution stuck with their theory that the defendant had simply decided to bludgeon Billy Joe to death for no apparent reason.
Right. That seems crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that
does.
Seems wild, but okay.
Especially with, at least at this point, we don't have any other psychological profiling of this person. Like, were they in therapy? Did they have a criminal past? Like, we don't know that at this point. We're going to get to some details here in a second, but you know, at this point, there's doesn't really seem to be a lot of mounting evidence that this is going to, you know, they're going to be able to prosecute and convict this guy. Well, the largest piece of evidence, though, excuse me, that they had to support their theory of the case was the blood splattered clothing that he had worn on the day of Billy Joe's death.
Huh.
Authorities had collected this clothing. I was just thinking, like, where is the clothing? As evidence, and painstakingly counted each spatter. There were 72 individual spots of blood on his jacket, 76 on his pants, and 10 on his left shoe.
Well, that's
an
a
interesting
lot.
Detail. That's an interesting detail.
That's not like, you know, a paper cut, right?
No, that's definitely not a paper cut.
That's
no splinter.
So,
that's not,
yeah.
no, there's no splinter happening.
That's a lot.
However, aside from a single large splash on his pant leg, all the rest of the spatter was virtually invisible to the naked eye. Now, I'm no Dexter. I'm no blood spatter, you know, an analyst or
yeah.
anybody else. But I would imagine like any kind of spatter of blood, assuming that it's hers, you know, Billy Joe's, pretty much links him to this, but I guess we need to be careful.
But
about
virtually
how we jump
invisible
to
the naked eye. I mean, if he's bludgeoning her to death, how could you make it so you don't have blood on you? I mean, unless they're going to say that they washed it or something. But again, outside of a single large splash on his pant leg, everything else didn't even barely register
Nothing
to the eye.
Yeah.
That seems wild to me.
It
now,
is
the
weird.
Prosecution supposed that the spatter was caused by Sion attacking his daughter, and that the mist, sort of this is invisible to the naked eye stuff, was created after his first blow to her head as he swung the tent post back down to strike her again. According to their experts, the closer the attacker stood, the finer the mist would be. I don't know. Why would that be the case?
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, listen, I'm like I said, I'm no Dexter, but okay, that's what the experts say.
I mean, sure. The defense countered that when Sion found Billy Joe's body, he had kneeled down beside her to check on her and was likely in a panic, distraught state when he did so. That's what I was sort of thinking. If he manipulated the body in any sort of way, not in a nefarious way, but just hugged her or whatever, you're going
to
get
blood
on you.
Tried to make sure she
and
was
then,
alive. Yeah.
Right. So Sion himself told authorities that he had noticed a small bubble of blood coming from Billy Joe's nose as he knelt next to her upon finding her body. And this filled his hope that she may still be alive.
Right.
The defense proffered the idea that a small mist caused by Billy Joe's final dying breaths, not a vicious attack, is likely what created the nearly undetectable spatter, which does make more sense to me. In that
same.
Sense, I could see it being a cough or a sneeze kind of mist, but not like from a bludgeoning thing and you're closer to the victim. That doesn't make any sense. They also pointed to the fact that Billie Joe herself had a similar fine red mist on all of her clothes, while the paramedics who assisted her did not.
Interesting.
The prosecution's theory all seemed to have an undertone of insinuation. Perhaps Sion had some sort of sexual intention towards Billie Joe that may have gone unrequited and ended in her death.
Remember, he's a foster parent, not the biological parent.
However, the insinuation could never become more, as the medical examiner had confirmed that Billy Joel was not sexually assaulted prior to her death, nor was there any evidence she had been sexually active whatsoever. So, doesn't mean something emotional wasn't going on, but
yeah,
doesn't look like she had been raped in any sort of way or sexually assaulted. In fact, aside from the mist of blood, there was no additional physical evidence whatsoever that Sion had been involved in the crime. And given the extreme brutality of the murder, one would expect there to be a great deal of physical evidence left on Billy Joe's assailant. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and that's a really important kind of part of this. And, you know, thinking more too about whatever happened to her, the motive, you know, if there was no sexual assault, which is the motive of people when they have these kind of group, not all of them, but a majority whenever it comes to these types of assaults, it seems, then what is the motive? You know, then you have to really start thinking like, well, who really could have done this then?
To a kid.
So, to a kid, right. So the other major evidentiary factor was, of course, time. Now, remember, after Sion dropped his daughter off at her clarinet lesson at approximately 3:15 to 3:20 p.m., he then drove home, left his house again to go to and from the store, which was about a 15-minute round trip. And then when he returned home, he found Billy Joe dead and made his first 911 or 999 phone call at 3:38. Again, we're talking England here, not the United right. States, so 999 is different. Now, the defense argued that given this timeline, Sion would have had mere minutes, basically, to murder Billy Joe, hide his clothing, clean up any forensic evidence left at the scene, which is another thing that we hadn't even touched right. on, and regain his composure enough to interact with his daughters and the police.
It's a big task.
That's a tall order, for sure. So the team was sure to note that it would be extremely difficult for someone to commit such a brutal crime, then appear perfectly composed and scared only minutes later.
Right.
I totally agree, and I do hear that, but if there's one thing I've learned over the years just doing this show and all the other true crime stuff I've ever done, is you can't really hold people to their emotional reaction in those moments, good or bad, because, you know, you've said it a million times too, Darren, like we all just react differently to trauma and to tragedy,
right.
you
right.
know? So it's something I'm just going to throw that in there as we talk about the emotional aspects.
You're that. Right.
Yeah. Well, the prosecution supposed that Sion had made extremely brief trips to and from the house in the time leading up to Billy Joe's death, and that this trip was likely an attempted alibi. Perhaps he had killed her and then run to the store to make a small purchase in the hopes of confusing the timeline specifically. The prosecution, all, which, by the way, there's something to that, too. But
I,
is there proof?
Guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the prosecution also pointed out that Sion had behaved very much in a manner described as strangely after he had found Billy Joe.
Yeah, I mean, finding your daughter bludgeoned to death is going to be a, it's going to have a little bit of a reaction. It's not a normal day.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, who knows how anyone would react to that? Well, for one thing, he'd assumed that she was dead after he found her body in the yard, although emergency medical services hadn't yet made that determination. Okay. Paramedics believe that he hadn't touched her or tried to help her in any way before calling for help, behavior that they found odd for a worried father. And they also accused him of having described her injuries oddly on the phone with the 999 dispatcher. You know, he'd stated that his daughter had, quote, fallen, a statement the prosecutor referred to as, quote, vague and misleading.
That's interesting. That's weird.
And again, I'm just trying to imagine just the emotional kind of reaction here. Or, you know, maybe you see her laying on the ground and you're thinking right. she fell. I mean, who knows?
Who knows? But it is a little...
But all that matters is if they can convince the jury at this point, right? So,
of course.
When help finally arrived, emergency services noted Sion's temperament was unemotional and calm while tending to his other two daughters, and he seemed to have already come to terms with Billy Joe's death. That is one thing I always find really interesting, is
how quickly they seem to get over it.
How quickly partners or close family members are just like, okay, on we go. But again, you know, I don't mean to keep stressing this, but it's like,
but doesn't apply
grieve
guilt
differently. Yeah. And it doesn't imply guilt, and we all grieve differently. And, you know, it just is what it is.
Well, okay. Continuing along these lines of, you know, maybe it's just kind of coincidental, just maybe a few blurbs of weirdness. Finally, there was a moment after police arrived when Sion noticed it looked like rain and briefly vocalized a consideration of going to the front of the house to put the roof down on his convertible car. He did not actually check on the car. It was merely something he said, and police used it as evidence that Sion was more concerned with his car's well-being than his daughter's. Touch of a stretch, but okay.
Yeah.
We now know that something like this, people seeking temporary comfort in mundane activities immediately after a traumatic event, to just be a completely normal response. They want to feel like they have some sort of control over something.
Exactly.
In 1997, however, the act, as well as Sion's faked resume, were the two points that the media and the public seemed to hyper-focus on. At the trial's conclusion, the jury found Sion guilty for Billy Joe's death. And on July 2nd, he was sentenced to life in prison for her murder. Lois actually began the process of filing for divorce. So this guy's life is falling apart.
Yeah.
Sion first appealed in 1999, and the defense claimed that the forensic evidence presented during the trial was inaccurate.
Oh, wow.
He lost this appeal, but his case was eventually granted appellate status in 2003, so 4 years later. The review board chose to reconsider the case because during trial, Sion's four daughters had changed their story slightly in a way that, if true, would have prevented Sion from having enough time alone to commit the murder at all.
Hmm.
Now, if this change in testimony had been made available to the jury, he might have been found not guilty. It's hard to say completely, but that is pretty big evidence. Now, during retrial in 2004, the defense focused primarily on explaining the blood spatter on Sion's clothing.
Yeah.
The team submitted to the jury that the droplets could easily have come from a father comforting his dying daughter in the last moments of her life, which to me kind of tracks, especially if it's like this mist of some sort.
Right.
Not to mention, now that his daughters had changed their version of events slightly, it was extremely unlikely Sion would have had the requisite time to kill Billy Joe.
Right.
The prosecution maintained that Billy Joe's airway was blocked and she would have been unable to breathe in her final moments. Hmm. But forensic recreation, proved that a mist of blood as fine as the one presented on Sion's clothing could have come from tiny amounts of air leaking out of an airway clearance the size of a pinhole.
Wow, that's fascinating.
That's
actually.
Fascinating.
And I mean, you know, the other thing is, if there's a dead body or a dying body, I hate to say it that way, and there's blood everywhere and there's a 18-inch tent peg, I mean, who knows what puddles of patches of blood could be spilling into, you know, the only reason I'm even mentioning this is, like, I think because of the pandemic, think about all the recreations we've seen of sneezes and how, you know,
oh my God, how much it launches 6 feet. Yeah.
Yeah. And how much, like, how far
gross people are.
Goes. Yeah. And how gross people are in general on, like, the subway and stuff. But, like, it really recreated this image, or, you know, I shouldn't say recreated, but educated me on exactly how, you know, a virus travels through the air. And, you know, the same thing is happening here with blood to
absolutely
some degree. Okay, so anyway, the defense also maintained that bludgeoning the girl himself would have caused Sion to be covered in larger size blood spatter instead of the imperceptible red mist that they mentioned. And of course, given the timeline, he would have no opportunity to change his clothing.
Right.
After a 3-month retrial, the new jury was unable to reach a unanimous verdict. The case was thrown out and a new trial began in February of 2006.
Wow.
And in 2006, Sion was formally acquitted by the third jury to hear his case.
Wow.
Billy Joe's killer remains at large to this day and is now considered a cold case. However, this does not necessarily spell out the end of the story for Billy Joe. Every 2 years, British police reopen and examine cold cases and reevaluate forensic evidence using the most up-to-date technology available. And honestly, this is something that we should consider implementing here in the United States. It sounds like this is something, you know, that's protocol.
They keep they keep them on ice, but they don't keep them frozen. You know, they revisit cases, which is good.
Yeah, that's right. And while her killer is still at large, the prosecutorial team is confident that it's only a matter of time before the right test is performed on Billy Joe's evidence and authorities find another break in her case.
Well, I certainly hope that's true. I mean, also, it's got to have been so gut-wrenching for the father, you know, just everyone's against you.
Going and through that,
there's just circumstantial evidence, and then you sit in prison for it, and your daughter's dead. It's like, that is
And
just
a divorce in the middle of all
that. And a divorce,
that.
Right, where no one believes you. It's just, it's just gut-wrenching, but I'm glad at least he got some justice. Now we just need to find that for Billy Joe. Let us know what you guys think, obviously, at Carpe Darren, at Jay Thrasher on Facebook, Shaken and Disturbed Podcast Fans, Patreon, as well as YouTube. If you subscribe right there, you can comment below. That's how it works. John, let us get to some listener shout outs.
I love that the YouTube channel has given Darren this opportunity to really ham it up a little bit here on our video. I like that.
The ham.
Here she goes. Look at
her. Here right. I go.
Our good friend Mel on Facebook said, quote, I'm watching American Idol and all of a sudden they announced David Archuleta is going to sing. And at an hour and 24 minutes, there he is singing his new song and looking like he has abs. And Mel, I responded to you on our Facebook group, but I want to mention he definitely has abs.
Thank you for putting the time. And thank you for putting the timestamp in so that way John could just go right to that part.
Thank you. That's actually a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Thank you. And I mentioned this on NMR the other day. Thank you to everybody who tagged me in David Archuleta's performance on ABC on American Idol. It was it's always fun to see you guys come together when something happens in his career and his life. So thank you for that.
Well, a few weeks ago, Brittany on Facebook mentioned, can we please have a SND hotline? I miss Eminem voicemails. Martinis and Murder, of course. I agree. Yeah. I love a voicemail. We got to get back to our voicemails.
I had missed this on our Facebook group the other week. Listen, you ask and you shall receive. We are working on it. We're still trying to get our Patreon live stream stuff happening. I think we can make that happen around the same time. But yeah, if you guys want to leave us voice memos and stuff like that, we absolutely will set that up. I had actually kind of forgotten about the voicemails on Martinis and Murder. That was a fun little aspect
of
our
too.
Show.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a nice little, it was something to kind of like discuss and end on. It was pretty cool.
It might be a fun thing for our YouTube channel too. You know, like maybe we react to some of them and make it a video on our YouTube channel.
Oh, that'd
channel.
Be fun. Some of the comments. That'd be fun. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and we're posting all kinds of fun stuff over there. We've got clips from the show. We've got a little behind the scenes stuff. Darren's hamming it up again.
I'm doing the subscribe smashing.
That's right. She has become a full-fledged YouTuber, you guys. So go check us out on YouTube. Right. Subscribe today. You can search for us on YouTube, Shaken and Disturbed. It'll pop right up, or you can click it in the show notes.
And if you want all the early access to our podcast and videos before anyone else, join us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. You can get behind the scenes exclusive content.
And it's even cheaper if you sign up annually, which we would really love. And it's the best way to support our show. So if you haven't yet, or if you used to sign up, if you used to be on Patreon and you churned, it's totally understandable. Nothing wrong with that. Now would be a really good time to come back because we're posting early access episodes, videos, NMR, full audio. There's a lot of stuff going on there for especially the Sussy Radishes.
It's pretty cheap. It's cheaper than a box of Count Chocula, John, which is my favorite cereal, as you know. I'm glad you remembered.
It's really fun to think of how expensive, how much inflation has caught up to everything else except our Patreon. It's like the only thing that has stayed the exact same price. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We don't
it really
we don't,
like
we
literally
don't
is.
You.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. Well, we're going to head out for now. Thank you so much for listening. And of course, as I always say every week, please be sure to take your vitamins.
Check your pits, especially if you have a penis.
Oh boy. All right. See you guys next time. Bye.